sit here. Move up a moment.
I don't think you guys are going to need pencils.
Okay, the purpose of this class is a follow-up of what we had last week. Last week we were talking about how to make a good confession. Remember, there are specific steps to make a good confession. And one is examination of conscience. Second point is sorrow for our sin. Third step is firm purpose of amendment. Fourth step is to confess our sins to the priest who represents Christ. And last is we carry out the penance that the priest gives to us. So those are the five classical steps to make a good confession. If that's done, we are forgiven of all our sins and we start a new life. We experience peace and tear of peace of having our conscience purified of our sins. So there are two sacraments that we can receive often, and they are the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is the body and blood of Christ, and the sacrament of confession. Other sacraments are received, most of them, unless you lose your spouse, you receive them just once. That would be baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. But this sacrament is a sacrament which we can receive often. Hopefully you'll be able to receive this sacrament at least once a month, not more frequently. And the specific purpose of the sacrament is forgiving our sins and interior healing. Heals us of our spiritual sickness, which is called sin. Spiritual infirmity, which is called sin. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to be basically reading through the commandments. I'm going to read through these commandments and then I'll stop and explain them. Okay, so if you go on the first page, it says preparing for the sacrament of penance. Let's jump down to the commandments. There are 10 commandments. So I'm going to read through the first and we'll explain its meaning for us. So the first commandment is taken from the book of Exodus 20, verse 2, verse 3. You shall not have strange gods before me. Okay, have I really loved God above all things? Or have I made other things? Money, clothes, sports, TV, music, pleasure, peer approval, a famous celebrity, more important than God. So the first point is this. We place any person, place, thing, idea above God, that is called idolatry. I repeat, when you place any person, place, thing above God, and that's a type of idol. God should always be number one. So it's pretty easy for us in this modern world to place other things above God. It's always good to examine our conscience and see, are there certain things that we give greater priority than God? Is that clear? Next. Have I made time for God each day in prayer? Do I pray only when I need something? Or do I also seek to praise and thank him too? Now, Teresa of Avila says prayer is friendship with God. There's no way that we can establish a friendship with anyone if we don't spend some time with that person. So prayer is we're spending time with God. And He's our best friend. So I've already told you every night before you go to bed, spend a couple minutes just talking to Jesus. Pull out a picture of Jesus or Mary. Before you go to bed, just talk to them. Maybe go through your day and tell the Lord what went on. Tell Him, you know, your joys. Tell Him your sorrows. Tell Him your struggles. Tell Him your desires. Talk to the Lord. Using your own words. Very important. Let's move on. Having made a serious effort to get to know my faith well. Since my relationship with God is supposed to be the most important thing in my life. Now these 2 years are special years. Because these 2 years, you're studying in preparation for confirmation. However, this does not mean that it's the only time in which you're trying to learn about God. Find ever other ways in which you can get to know about God. Reading maybe an article. Read a good book. And also today, there are a lot of good movies out there. Right? There's a lot of really good DVDs and movies over the past 20 years in which you can just put it into your computer or you can put it into your television. You can kick back and watch it. Maybe some of you have heard of Padre Pio. Maybe some have heard of Mother Teresa. Maybe some have heard of John Bosco. Maybe some have heard of St. Francis. Maybe some have heard of José Luis Sancho del Rio. There's a lot of really good movies out there you guys can see. And that's a way of educating yourself in the faith. Face it, most of you guys, you're brought up in the digital electronic world. I was brought up in the world of books. Paul's a little bit younger than me, but we were educated by reading books, no? You guys have books, but also you guys are exposed to the world of images, the internet, okay? Internet, Instagram, the world of pictures and images, and some images are good, other images are bad. You have to try to choose between the good and the bad. Watching a good movie can really be helpful. So find ways in which you can keep strengthening your knowledge of God. Is that true? Okay, good. Let's move on. Have I endangered my faith in God by superstitious or evil practices like witchcraft, the Wicca, Ouija boards, fortune tellers, and so on? You got to be careful. There's a lot of satanic practices out there today. If you did see the movie called The Exorcist, and I'm not saying that you should see it, but the classical movie, The Exorcist, you got this girl that's about your age that's actually possessed by the devil. And the exorcists come in and they were able to expel the devil, but the devil was entered in the girl, it seems, when she's playing the Ouija board. The very beginning of the movie. Playing the Ouija board, then the evil spirit got into her, and then these two exorcists had to do a long exorcism to eventually expel the evil spirit. So don't be playing around with satanic practices. You really place your life in danger. Keep away from that. And you probably know that in already in second grade that there's satanic groups that are allowed in schools already in California, you know? And devil groups. So the devil is becoming more and more popular among children. Upon they're setting up certain satanic statues in like Oklahoma, and they're offering certain homages to the enemy. But this does not. This is not now. I don't know if you ever heard the rock and roll group called Led Zeppelin is one. Did you ever hear of the Rolling Stones, any of you? You heard of them? Mick Jagger is the principal singer. When I was about your age, a little bit younger, they did a song, and it was called Sympathy for the Devil. Remember that, Paul? Very famous, in which Mick Jagger is singing about the presence of Satan during the time of Hitler, when all the evil things are happening behind. The evil was, I mean, he was right in that sense, but he's trying to really kind of promote this knowledge of the devil. So, you know, if you have any friends that are trying to get you involved in this type of stuff, don't do it. Probably even notice on the Juan Avenue in Carson, right in the corner, there's a, you ever see, it says psychic reader, we have the big hand, it's $5 special. Don't go in there. Because they're gonna be doing something that could really damage you. Reading your palm, maybe spraying you with certain water. It's very common in Mexico to, you know, break an egg upon you and then incense you, predict your future. You know why they say $5 special? That's kind of like a bait. They can get you in for $5. Then the next time, it's going to be 10. Then it's going to be 25. Then it's going to be 50. Then it's going to be 100. And what they do is they're going to be trying to bring you in by keeping you suspended as they tell you certain stories. No? You're going to meet this very beautiful woman. Come back next week and I'll tell you who it is. Next week, she's a really beautiful woman. You're going to meet her within the next 5 years and she's going to change your life. Come back next week and they'll tell you. This woman, not only is she beautiful, but she's going to have a lot of money and she's going to fall in love with you. Come back next week, and so before you know it, you're giving more and more money. So the $5 special is just a bait to kind of pull you into, kind of fish you into it. These people are crafty. They're pretty intelligent. They want to make money. Or all people that are really going through a lot of depression and a lot of insecurity, a lot of emotional instability, they'll call, you know, they'll work on your emotions, try to get as much money from you as possible. Okay, next. I may wholehearted in accepting and following God's teaching? Or do I only pick and choose only the parts of His message that please me? Well, that is called, it's called cafeteria Catholicism. Cafeteria Catholicism means that you pick and choose what you like, but then you reject what you don't like. So maybe you like the idea of heaven and the good shepherd. But the whole idea of hell, I think I'll reject it because I don't like that. Okay? Called picking and choosing. Called cafeteria Catholicism. You go to cafeteria, you pick and choose what you like to eat, and then you discard what you don't like to eat. you guys don't really know your faith that well yet. However, when you get older, you're going to be coming across certain doctrines that are not that easy. You have to accept everything. And one is hell. A lot of Catholics, they don't like to accept the reality of hell. But hell is part of the deposit of faith, isn't it? You can't pick and choose. You have to accept everything that the Church teaches. Next. Do I believe the false idea that one religion is just as good as another? That's called indifferentism. You hear a lot of non-practicing Catholics that say this, well, you know, it's the same God. So it doesn't really matter if we go to the Catholic Church, or we go to the Christian Church, or we go to the Jehovah's Witnesses, or we go to the Mormons, or we become a Buddhist, or we become a Muslim. It's just the same God. That's false reasoning. Is Buddha God? No. Is Hare Krishna God? No. Is Allah God? No. Is Confucius God? No. Is Harry Potter God? No. Is Mick Jagger God? No. Is Paul McCartney God? No. Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ is present where in the Catholic Church? If you ever drive close to where you live, like on Carson, it turns into Lincoln. You know, if you're driving, heading toward Knott's Berry Farm, you can see within about 4 or 5 miles, 15 different churches. Next time watch, 15 different churches. And they're all different churches. They're Christian churches. But every Christian church has a different interpretation of the Bible. But the Catholic Church has a uniform, constant, and sameness in interpretation of the Bible. About 40,000 different Christian churches, no? And each one has a different interpretation of the Bible. So be thankful that you guys are Catholics. Be thankful. And never leave your Catholic faith, okay? Right, Cameron? Never leave your Catholic faith. Stay in the Catholic Church. There are problems. But tell me, is there any group that doesn't have problems? Group or corporation or team or company, everyone has problems. Catholic Church has problems because we're sinners. Jesus did not come for the saints, he came for the sinners, right? We're sinners. Some people say, well, you Catholics, you're hypocrites. I'll say to the person, well, there's room for one more, why don't you come in to be with us? They're all sinners. Jesus did not come for the saints, he came for the sinners. And I tell people, you know, it's interesting when they ask Pope Francis, who are you? Can you give yourself a definition? What Pope Francis said about 3 years ago? He said, who am I? I'm a sinner. Pope Francis, you would think that. Remember that? He said, who are you, Pope Francis? I'm a sinner. Just a pecador. Didn't say I'm a saint ready to be canonized. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. So people say, well, yeah, the Catholics, they're all hypocrites. They're all, you know, they do one thing. They say one thing, they do another. Okay, it's true. Tell me, you know, well, I'm a sinner, but I'm trying to change. And that's what confession is. We try to change. Try to change with God's grace. With God's grace. So, guys, be thankful that you're Catholics. Be thankful. Sad to say that most Most Jehovah Witnesses used to be Catholics. Do you know that? Most Mormons used to be Catholics. What does that say? That teaches us that many, many Catholics, they never knew their faith in the first place. They jumped ship. They never knew their faith in the first place, so they changed religion. And that's why we got confirmation, so we can get to know our faith at least a little bit, and hopefully have a real desire to go deeper and deeper as we get older. Well, here we're building a foundation of a 10-story building. This is just a foundation. We have to keep building and building and building. Funny, because from where I come from, there are a lot of tall buildings. Here in California, they don't have tall buildings because of the earthquakes, right? Ever been to New York? See these Empire State buildings, these apartment buildings, they're 10, 15, 20 stories, no? So we're building the foundation for these kids on which they can build a really high building which is going to lead you to heaven. Amen? Lead you to heaven. Okay, next is this. Have I denied my faith before others? Have I been willing to affirm, defend, and practice my faith before others, and not just in private? So if you go to school, someone asks you, what religion are you? Oh, I'll ask Father in the church, but I won't tell you now. Okay? You say I'm a Catholic? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. They criticize you. Say, well, we're trying to become better. They criticize you. Trying to become a better person. If you want to come to Catholic Church, you're welcome to come. But never deny your faith. Jesus says, those who deny me, I will deny them on the day of judgment. We don't want Jesus to deny us before the Father, do we? No. We want to love him so that when we die, he's going to say, welcome home, my brother. Welcome home. Welcome home to heaven. I've been waiting for you. That's what we want. Right? Okay, so those are a few ideas on the first commandment. And I repeat that whenever we idolatry, we place any person, place, thing above God, then that can be an idol. Any person, place, or thing above God, that can be an idol. A few minutes ago, I was with 100, mostly mothers, teaching them another class. And I asked them, do your husbands spend more time with them or with their telephones? I'd see a smirk on their faces, smile across their face. What a lot of them were saying by their expressions is that I am married to my husband, but he spends more time with the telephone than he spends time with me. Every day my husband talks to me about 5 minutes, but every day my husband is on the phone from 4 to 5 hours. I think there's something wrong with that, don't you? What do you think? Something wrong with it, don't you think? Nothing wrong with the telephone. But we don't want to place the telephone up here than the human person here. Telephone is just it's an immaterial object. Human person is created in the image and likeness of God. With an eternal destiny, right? You guys spend probably more time with your telephone than talking to God. What do you think, Paul? Probably, no? Well, some of you are going to say, well, I don't have a telephone. Oh, thanks be to God. Okay. But then maybe you're on the internet, maybe a laptop, okay? Or a tablet, huh? No, it's really the same thing. Or maybe TV. Spending more time watching TV than spending time on your studies, on your prayers, and helping out, and serving. Being a good brother, being a good son, being a good friend, being a good nieto. Yeah? All those are important too. So we live more in a kind of a fantasy world than a real world. Growing up as zombies, huh? Martians from another planet, huh? Let's move on, okay. Second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do I love and reverence? Do I have love and reverence for God's name? Do any of you know who Moses was? You ever hear the name Moses? Never heard of Moses. He's a pretty famous person. Never heard of Moses? Who is Moses? Do you know who Moses was? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to tell you a Bible joke, but you have to think to understand it. Ready? Who was the first one that broke all the commandments? Moses. I guess they don't have enough biblical knowledge to know that one. It's a pretty good one, though, isn't it, Paul? Didn't you ever see the film of Charlton Heston with Moses? And there, Moses, he came down from the mountain. And they were worshiping the golden calf up there. Moses had the Ten Commandments. They came from God. And what did Moses do with those Ten Commandments? Really good films, and especially Charlton Heston, right? The Ten Commandments. So he comes down from the mountain, he sees them worship, and he's so angry that he takes the Ten Commandment tablets and he breaks them into pieces. So Moses was the first one that broke all the Ten Commandments. Ah, now you got it, huh? I don't want to make you guys feel sad, but having a good sense of humor is a good sign of intelligence, no? Hopefully you're not offended by that, okay? They didn't even pick that one up either, did they, Paul? Well, one day they'll understand, okay? So, Moses went up on the top of the mountain, but before Moses saw God, before the burning bush, what was the name that God gave to Moses? Do you remember? How was your Hebrew? Okay, you pronounce it Yahweh. Say it.
Yahweh.
Say it again.
Yahweh.
Okay, that's the name that God gave to Moses when he was before the burning bush. What it means is, I am who am. Which means that God always existed. Yahweh. And so the Jewish people, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies in the temple. And he could pronounce this name once a year. You know that? He'd enter into the Holy of Holies, and once a year he could say the word Yahweh. Is there a name even more important than Yahweh? Jesus Christ, right? And St. Paul says that the name of Jesus may every knee in heaven, on earth, and under earth to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. That's a holy name, isn't it? Yeah. You know, when I went to school many years ago as a child, the nuns would teach us, when you hear the name of Jesus, you'd always bow. Maybe next time you see me saying Mass, every time I say the name of Jesus, I bow. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Did you notice that? A very kind of small bow, but a reverential bow every time I say Jesus in Mass, and that's probably a good 15 times, if not more, because that's such a holy name. So never say the name of Jesus with irreverence, because you're committing a sin. Such a holy name. I have great respect for it. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, when you say the name of Jesus with love, you're already praying. It's already a prayer. So Jesus is a very holy name, and He's our God. Okay, now, have I used God's name carelessly in anger or in surprise? So if you ever get angry, never say the name of God when you're angry. Use some other expression, but not the name of Jesus or God. Okay, have I called down evil on anyone? Try to curse someone? No, shouldn't do that. We're not called to curse, we're called to bless. And I called to curse, we're called to bless. Okay? Have I used foul language? Maybe bad words. Well, if you have, let's try to change. Think about this. You said a bad word, but you received Holy Communion on your tongue. Seems to be something wrong with that. Receive Jesus Christ on your tongue, then you should speak according to that dignity. Your tongue is a throne of the Almighty. Next, do I try my best to fulfill the promises and resolutions that I've made toward God, especially those of my baptism and confirmation? Have I shown disrespect for the Blessed Virgin Mary, the saints, the church, and those who have consecrated their lives to God? Becoming more and more common, the profanation of statues, right? We had, I think it was just a few months ago there in Oklahoma, the feast day of the Assumption, they actually threw blood upon the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Oklahoma in front of the I think it was a basilica there. They tried to get the governor to prevent it, but they did it anyway, you know? So we're living in a tough world. So we should honor. We should honor statues, paintings of Jesus and Mary. Honor them, because they represent Christ. You know, what's going to happen, eventually these Christians or Jehovah's Witnesses are going to say this. Are you Catholics? You got those statues? You're practicing idolatry. Huh? You practice idolatry. You got the statue. Why are you worshiping idols? You're going to hear that. What are you going to say? You're going to hear that. Oh, you get a statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You guys are practicing idolatry. Come on, get rid of those images. The Bible forbids us from adoring images. Do any of you in your house have a painting or a statue of Jesus and Mary or a saint? So are you practicing idolatry by having that? No, the response is so simple, and it's this. We're not adoring the image, but we love what it represents. Got that? We're not adoring the image, but we love what it represents. What does Our Lady of Guadalupe represent? Mary's love for us. What does the image of Divine Mercy represent, as Paul was telling you at the very end of the chaplet, is that we trust in Jesus' mercy for us. If you look at Jesus on the cross, does that mean anything?
Yeah,
that's right, and it shows, you know, his willingness to suffer for our salvation, right? So these images, we're not adoring them, but we love what they represent. Mary's love, Jesus' mercy, Jesus' suffering for us. You're gonna be attacked sooner or later by non-Christians on having images. That's one of the things that they go after us most commonly, right? So let's go then to the third commandment. Third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath. Do any of you know when the Jewish people have their Sabbath? It's different than us. When do the Jewish people have their Sabbath? Saturday. How about the Muslims? When do they have their Sabbath? Friday. When do the Catholics have their Sabbath?
Sunday.
Do you know why we change ours from Saturday to Sunday? Because Jesus rose on Sunday. Right? And that happened, didn't he rise on Sunday? Isn't that Easter? So because he rose on Sunday, for us, Sunday is the day that we celebrate our Sabbath, our day of rest. Pentecost also, yeah. Okay. So let's read on. The third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath. Did a miss Mass on Sunday or a holy day of obligation through my own fault? Can you tell me any holy day of obligation you have to go to Mass aside from Sunday? Give you a hint, the beginning of... Yes. Perfect. So, Christmas is a holy day of obligation. Essentially, it actually falls on Sunday this year, but it usually does not. Another? What do we celebrate November 1st? About 2 weeks ago. All Saints. All Souls is the day afterward. So there are some days, there are holy days obligations. We have to go to Mass even though it's not a Sunday. What would happen if you miss Mass on Sunday because you're in the hospital and they're operating on you? So you miss Mass on that Sunday. Is that a mortal sin? What do you think? Why not?
Because you're not hearing it because you're lazy. It's actually for like a sickness or injury.
Okay, so for a health purpose, right? Okay, yes. So if you miss Mass because you're really sick, not a sin. Or say, for example, your dad is in Mexico and your older sister really gets sick. And she's really sick and your mother has to spend the whole day at home with your sister. Is that a sin? No, because your mother has to watch over your sister who's really sick. But if you miss Mass simply because of laziness,
that's a sin.
That's a sin, because of laziness. The reason is very different, right? Remember one occasion a few years ago, maybe 15 years ago, maybe even 20. My father used to travel throughout the world because of his business. and he's traveling back from New Zealand, which is the other part of the globe. And he called my mom on the phone and said, "You know, Joan, I didn't go to Mass this weekend." And my mom said, "That's the first time in 70 years you've ever missed Mass." He said, "Well, when I was flying in the plane, it went from Saturday to Monday, and there was no Sunday." Do you know that there are certain time zones in the world that when you're crossing from one part to the other, there's actually a jump of a whole day? So that was the only time my father missed Mass, because of the change of the time zone. So when he was going there, I think there were two Tuesdays. When he came back, there was no Sunday. But that's never going to happen here, is it? No. So we don't have that problem, do we?
No.
Okay, next. Have I really prayed and paid attention during Holy Mass? Have I just gone through the motions? Do I participate in Mass by singing and praying the responses? Or do I simply sit as a spectator, wanting to be entertained? Do I pay attention to the Word of God and try to apply it to my life? So that's a good question. See, when I'm going to Mass, do I really try to pay attention, or am I zoning out? I'm thinking, what am I going to have for lunch or dinner? No. What sports game is going to be afterward? That could be a temptation, right? We want to make sure that when we're in Mass, we try to participate. You know, some of the saddest Masses, Paul, are weddings. I go to weddings, and often nobody responds at all. And you've helped me in a wedding or two, right? The people don't respond. It's almost as if it's a funeral more than a wedding, huh? So you have to learn how to participate. Participate. Very important. Not to be, you know the expression in Spanish, caliente banca? What's a caliente banca? Bench warmer, right? Caliente banca. You're playing baseball, but you're just a bench warmer. You're just collecting splinters in your pants, huh? Or you're a water boy, huh? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with a water boy, but it's better to be playing, right? Yeah. So we don't want to be caliente bancas, no? Right, Cameron? We don't want to be really engaged in the sport, right? We want to win. We want to hit the home run, huh? Yeah. Okay, so this is a very important commandment, the third commandment. Have I arrived at Mass late due to carelessness, or left early without a serious reason? I don't think any of you would show up in maybe the third inning of your game, right? Come an hour early to kind of warm up, right? Or you come a half hour late to school, and the teacher sees you coming in a half hour late. Hey. But easily we can come late to Mass. The Mass is so important. We always try to be punctual. Actually come a little bit early. Right? Okay, next is, have I kept the Eucharistic fast before Holy Mass? Do you know what the Eucharistic fast is before Holy Mass? Is fast, does that mean going, does it mean speeding fast? No? Fast means speeding into the church? No? Fast means what? Not eating. Maybe tell me, how long do we have to fast, not eat, before receiving Holy Communion? Do you know? What did you say?
2 hours.
Okay. You won the prize. Just 1 hour. When I was a little kid, it was 3 hours. When my mother was a little kid, it was from midnight on, you couldn't have anything. Yeah, nothing at all from midnight on. Now it's just 1 hour. But you can have water. Water, and you can have medicine too. So water and medicine. But another point is this. Say, for example, you're going to church, and you put a lifesaver in your mouth. That's food, right? You can ask the priest, and he can give you what is called a dispensation. So if by chance you forget and you actually eat something, then you can ask the priest, Father, I forgot, I had a little something to eat, can you give me a dispensation? And we can give you the dispensation. Okay? But you have to ask the priest. That's in Los Angeles. Okay? It's good to know that. If by chance you maybe have eaten something, and okay, so third commandment, the fast, is how long?
1 hour.
1 hour. Just 1 hour. Now, also that means you can't be chewing gum, because if you're chewing gum, that's considered food, but not medicine. Can't be chewing gum. Now, you should be chewing gum at church anyway, should you? No? The church is the house of God. You should really try to have great respect for the house of God. That bothers me when you see people chewing gum in church, you know? They look like cows, no? Yeah. You chew gum when you're playing second base, but not in church, huh? Right? There's a place for everything, chewing gum in church. If you don't believe me, now put your hand underneath the benches and you have. I'm going to teach you a New York expression. Do you know what ABC gum is? Already been chewed gum. ABC? Already been chewed gum. I thought that was just a New York expression. So I said, that's really bad, right? People going to church chewing gum, and they take the gum and they put it underneath the bench. No, so we should respect the house of God. What happened if you invited me to your house and I was waiting for a cup of coffee and I put gum in my mouth and they put my gum underneath your table? No, that wouldn't be very good, would it? No, it'd be a real lack of respect, wouldn't it? No. So the church is the house of God. There should be great respect for the house of God. Right? Thought you'd agree. Good. Okay, next. Did they do work on Sunday that was not necessary? Have I used Sunday just as part of the weekend? Or is it a day for acts of love toward God, my family, and those in need? So Sunday should be the Lord's Day, but it also should be the family day. Lord's Day and the family day. So those are two of the Ten Commandments, and given that this is such an important topic, we only got through two of them, but maybe next week we can move on, right? Well, next week I think there's a film or something.
No, actually there's no confirmation class next week.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's why, see, you're so sad that we're not going to have confirmation. We're going to have to get some type of therapy to work through that sadness, right? Okay. I think we'll get through it, right? Good. Well, have a great Thanksgiving, you guys. Have a great... Let's say a Hail Mary that we really get to know, to love God more and more, and have a great Thanksgiving. Make sure you go to Mass on Sunday, right? Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Are you going to do the roll call now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Have a great Thanksgiving, you guys, okay?